You will sleep better than you have ever slept. You've never been this relaxed. Are you ready to change your life?
I'm Rusty Diamond, certified hypnotist. You don't need to leave your house. You can stay in your bed. You can stay in your favorite chair. You just need a computer or your phone. You can get a hold of me. Stay at home. I'll make your life better.
HypnosisIsGreat.com.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.
Yo, man. Boomus Rusty, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Public Access Podcast, the Pup Podcast in Pennsylvania. So it's the Podcast because of PA. Welcome, everybody, and thank you so much for being here. My name is Rusty Diamond. And if you need to know anything about me, you can go to rustydiamond.net. I guess I never say anything about me, really, at the beginning. I don't know if I need to. I feel like there should be some little elevator pitch thing that's 3 seconds long that I say. But I'm not going to do that because I feel like everyone here is here and they're going to come back. So then they can figure out who I am. But not really who I am, but who my guests are. Because maybe you're listening to this and you want to say, I wonder what he looks like, or I wonder what his guests look like. Well, you can do that, and you just go to YouTube or Rumble and you can check that out, and it'll be there, and you can watch the show. Or maybe you're watching the show and you look at me and you go, why? I don't want to look at this guy, but I love the content and I love his guests. So then you can just go anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find the show, the Public Access Podcast, and it's going to be there. And there's going to be an episode. There's going to be episodes. It may not go with everybody, but there's going to be episodes where it's going to be ones that are really interesting to you. And some might be really interesting to someone else. But you know what? They're all interesting to me. And that's why I have them on, because they're people I want to talk with. And it's time for me to bring on my special guest. And my special guest is right here and right now. And my special guest right here and sometime right here and right now.
You didn't tell me there were cues.
Okay. I did. I should have had something right there. I didn't think that one up. It just, but it's Nora Neff Hardy. Thank you for being here, Nora. Happy
thank
to
you.
Have you on. Yeah, you're welcome. And so, beforehand, we were talking about Iowa, which always, I want to get into it because I love it there. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's one of those places that, I don't know. But then I won't say too much about Iowa, I guess, as much as I thought, because for reasons, I guess if you live there, you can understand it. But yeah. Anyway, I'm saying too much, so I'm just gonna go. Iowa is all right. It's okay. So, but yeah. So yeah. Thanks for doing this. And but yeah. Jeez. Now I'm gonna be thinking about that. But
Well, it kind of gets under you. That black dirt gets under your fingernails. It never really goes away.
Right. Yeah. I could have stayed there longer for sure. And because so I was down there. When was that? When would that have been? 2020 to 2022.
Oh,
somewhere
really?
In there. Yeah. Or, and So it was nice because I don't know. It is a hard thing to talk about, I guess. So during Iowa, once when 2020 hit, there wasn't really much of a difference in day-to-day life. And in Austin, which is 15 miles over the border, I mean, there's still, it was kind of hit or miss. There was like Walmart, where it was, and then like at the Mayo Clinic, seemed to be the two places where it was pretty well held down. But then, yeah, just going over to Iowa was, it was a different experience. So what was going on when everyone else was shutting down, and what were you doing? What were you thinking? Were you thinking anything was gonna happen, or did anything change, or what did you take that time to do during there?
Well, Iowa as a state was very ambivalent about what they were going to do about the plan. So it was very confusing for a lot of people. Some people chose to just hole up, and some people chose to like be rebellious and go out and do things. I had just mostly retired, so I wasn't in a space where I had to really go out. I had just decided to go online and take my yoga for brain injuries into an online program, which is still a work in progress. So, but there was so much technology I had to learn, and we also had the wildfires, which trashed the environment. So, and I'm allergic to sulfites and sulfates, which apparently were of great number from those wildfires. So I couldn't go outside a lot without a mask. Most people are going outside without a mask and then putting a mask on inside. And I just couldn't even go out without a mask. So it's like, So I ended up just sort of being in the house, not doing the typical things that I was used to doing, which was being outside and doing stuff. Which was it took a long time to figure out what the problem was, but once we got it figured out, the whole world made sense. And but 2020 for me was not as devastating as it was for a lot of people. I just really lucked out. So
Yeah. And so was that like, so were you figuring out yoga before then?
oh yeah, I've been doing yoga since I was 14, so 53 years.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I was gonna say 17, 18 years, but okay, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, a long time.
And so was the brain injury part, was that a newer development with the with yoga?
Yes and no. When I started the online yoga platform, they asked you to figure out a specific group of people that you wanted to work with. And after a great deal of, cogitation, whatever, some word, I decided that there was not enough information out there about mild and moderate brain injuries. And even hidden brain injuries that people don't know they have. And when I figured that out, that niched down. But then I kind of took it on a, I put it on a shelf, I guess, for lack of a better word, because A, I couldn't figure out how to do it. And B, I realized that most people don't know about brain injuries. And even if you saw something on the internet or an ad or something that said, I will work with you. They may or may not think they need help and may or may not think that there is a problem, And so when I niched down, I began to realize I have to go out there and get my message out there about hidden brain injuries and the invisible injury, they call it. And, So immediately what happens is people, the first thing I ask them is, what do you think of when you think of a brain injury? And people say, well, somebody in a wheelchair or, has trouble moving around and can't think straight. It's like, yeah, guess what? That's less than 80% of the people. 80% of the people have, you have no idea they have a brain injury. They know something's wrong. Or not. Maybe they do know what's wrong. Maybe they don't know all the things about it. But because I was coach and I was a teacher and I was a yoga teacher and a behavioral therapist, I have the power of observation and I can see where some problems might be. And, but, so now I'm just out there telling people, hey, have you ever had a concussion? Yeah. Well, did you know that's a brain injury? Did your life change? No, maybe not. Maybe it does. Maybe all of a sudden, here's one thing that happened to me. Am I a good piano player? Absolutely not. But I could play the scales and I could play them up and down in a few quick, easy, simple songs. I looked at that piano and I realized I could go up the scale, but I couldn't go down the scale. I was like, what? And then I realized when I went down the stairs, I had to hold on with the railing on my left hand because I couldn't quite figure out. I mean, I could see what was there, but it didn't register. So I'm not sure where the stairs are when I go down the stairs. Now I'm way better because this all happened in 1997. So I kind of retrained myself. But yeah, there's just these little things that show up and you're going, and I could add and I can multiply, but I can't divide and subtract. It's like, okay, how does this affect your life? Well, when you're a carpenter, it's an issue,
Yeah, absolutely. And they affect different parts of your brain. Like where some things are great, and some things are just not there. Like I had an example where like I could remember I did some testing for this after a while after I don't know, a few years back, and I could do really well with remembering and recalling numbers and some other things, but then like remembering, like you tell me a paragraph and then ask me to remember, what this detail was about something, and it's just absolutely nothing. Like, and yeah, the first person that I tested with thought that I was lying about it.
Yeah, of
And
course
I'm,
they have to do that. They have to check you for malingering.
yeah. And then so then I go to the second one and, I tell that I score exactly the same and I tell him that. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, when that happens, like one part of your brain, is fine. But then this other part is the part that controls, like one can do the numbers and one can do the words. And, I mean, it's just like, oh, okay, well, that makes more sense. And yeah,
So you
go
had a
ahead.
neuropsychological exam?
I've had a number of them. Yeah, I've had a number of head injuries. And yeah, so we'll go ahead.
So that's what made you click on my button for getting a podcast.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah. And so yeah, I've had a lot of them. And then I got into pro wrestling. Which was, a great way to do that. And so it got to be maybe 2011, 2012, after I was in about a year or two. I had a couple friends that both ended up with head injuries, that resulted in them both retiring. And this was around the time that there's a guy, Chris Nowinski, who is, he used to be a wrestler and a football player at Harvard, and then he got one bad kick in the head and had to retire. But he ended up writing this book called Head Games, and I read that then, and then that got me to be like, well, this is definitely something that I need to probably not be doing. And like, just, I mean, because the thing about the book is it's written like a Harvard paper, I feel would be like, it's very informational, but there's a lot of information in there. And I mean, there's been a bunch more. I started some foundation called, I forgot what it's called. I don't know what it's called.
It's okay. Let that secretary, let that secretary go down the hall. It's okay. Take your time. It's okay. Once right. I figure that out, the secretary's just got to go down the hall and she's got bad knees. It's okay just to take a moment to find the information. So,
thank you.
Yeah, it's really helpful if you just say, huh, secretary's on her way.
Where'd you come up with that? How did that come about?
Actually,
I like that
my
a
neuropsych
lot.
Gave that to me. He said, I don't think you have a memory problem. I think the information's in a file cabinet way down the hall, and the secretary has bad knees. And I went, perfect analogy. Perfect. It's just great. And I throw that out to people all the time because it's like, we got to give ourselves permission to go a little slower. And if we go a little slower, that lowers that cortisol. The second that stress hormones, the second that stress hormone comes in, our lizard brain takes over, and what we got left of the cognitive thinking is gone. And we get into that, oh my God, I can't do it, and you know, like freeze, crazy, be weird moment. And then it's all gone, you know. So one of the things I've had to learn and I've had to teach people is if you can train yourself to relax in those tense moments, the moment where you go, okay, just breathe, relax, and try to go where you think you were going in the first place, which may not be where you end up. It's okay.
Not always.
So but, our conversation yeah. might be all over the map for people.
Right. And there's probably a good chance. And so where did, I mean, what happened with you? How did you end up into finding the head injury path of life?
Things were different. I got a pretty serious whiplash from my rear end from the person behind me. And I was talking to my son in the car, and he was being a slumpy teenager. So he was all slumped down in the seat. And I had leaned forward and had turned that way when I got hit. So my head was all free fall and had gone sideways. Pretty serious whiplash with it. And of course you think, oh, I got a whiplash. It's like a rolled ankle. You just got to deal with it, right?
Right.
Oh, that's not how it works. So now I'm having trouble focusing. I get kind of dizzy. I'm stuttering all the time. I can't even remember what day it is, you know, and I got a 13-year-old and a 6-year-old or 7-year-old, I guess. And I got to go places. I got to do things. I got to get in places, you know. It's like, no, you're not even driving. You know, call your mom. My mom, who was too old to do all that stuff, still did it anyway, you know. But things were just weird. And there was a lot of things that built up to me just trying to figure things out. So I finally found a friend who was a doctor at my church, and he said, and he's actually up in Austin. Albert Lee, sorry, he's up in Albert.
Okay.
Yeah. And he said, yeah, come on up and I'll give you a cursory check. And so I get up there and he asks me to do things and checks my eyes and my response, and he checks my hands or whatever. And I don't even remember all the details. But his statement was, yeah, I think you have what they call a moderate or mild brain injury. And the good thing is they usually take care of themselves. The bad thing is if they don't take care of themselves by 3 months, you're pretty much stuck with what you got. And I went, what? And of course, it was already 4 months passed by then, and I'm still struggling with things. And he said, but since you do yoga and you're healthy and you're very active and you're self-observant, he said, most people drink their Coca-Cola or the beer, smoke the cigarettes, sit and watch TV. They get in a car accident, they come home, they drink their beer, their Coca-Cola, and smoke their cigarettes and watch TV. They don't notice the difference in their lives. Well, he said, you're going to notice the difference. And yeah. And of course, there's a part of me that says, I'm not, it's not going to affect me. I'm going to just take care of it and it's going to be all okay. And you know, the kids my son's age were making fun of me for stuttering. I can't remember what day it is and where I'm supposed to go. I'm certainly not going back to work yet. And then I'm passing out about half the time. Just like, I gotta lay down. I can't think. I can't do anything. I gotta lay down. Well, I found out that when you have a whiplash, guess what's swollen?
The area around your brain.
Your neck.
Oh, you're not okay.
Yeah, your brain's probably slogged too. If you got a whiplash, your brain's slogged, I can tell you that. Okay, so it's rest is the crucial part. Well, I'm not gonna rest. I got stuff to do, you know? And what would happen is I would lay down and in about 15 minutes, I was fine. So I'd get up and try it again, you know? And the neck is swollen. So guess what's not going up to your brain?
A lot of blood.
Fluids.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're essentially every time you stand up, you're cutting off your circulation to the brain.
Well.
And I think there was secondary brain injury from the fact that I kept trying to push myself. And if somebody had said to me in ER, you have a whiplash, I want you to lie down for 3 weeks or even 3 days. Don't do anything and don't get up just to go to the bathroom and eat and then lie back down. And if they had said that, would I have done it? Probably not, but I would have been aware of the fact that maybe this passing out thing had something to do with it.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. I like to say it's a Midwest mentality, but I think I
Yeah.
found it all over the country. So
Yeah.
it's not particular.
I'm from the Midwest, though. I was born in the Midwest, so yeah, maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
So, yeah, but the real key for me knowing I had to change was I had a drop foot. I had to work with that, and I had a temper problem, which I never had before. I was so frustrated that I would just get angry real fast, and anger comes from fear, frustration, and pain. Well, I certainly had all three of those. So, but one night, and this is in my speech, I was trying to gather up information to get ready for the week. Because, you know, planning sucks. I
Yeah.
was really struggling, you know, nobody can drive, and I got this 14-year-old and this 7-year-old, and it's like, trying to get someplace. And my oldest son, who's the oldest, you know, he said, Mom, we got to do this. Mom, we got to get this done. Mom, we got to do this. Mom, we got to do this. And I couldn't handle it. I ended up growling and barking at him like a dog because I could not find the words to tell him to just back off, you know. And I was like, Rrr. And I couldn't believe it. I'm a child development major. It's like, this is wrong. So I
So
said,
then what? Oh,
I
go
got to
ahead.
do something. I got to do something. So I started doing research. So.
And I mean, it's something that it's real easy to overlook. And like, and also what you were saying about the getting that second concussion coming through right after, or second, bit of trauma. I mean, that's usually what, will kill people. And that's usually the one that gets people. And there's so much of it. I mean, I grew up playing sports, and I mean, there was a lot that was just, you'll
Shake
be,
it off. Yeah. Shake it
yep,
off. Yeah.
you just got your bell rung, you're seeing stars or whatever, and like, I'd go back and like, there were so many times like where I'm sure it happened again, or even just doesn't take much, doesn't take much, and
Especially if it's the third or fourth one.
right, or
Yeah.
the 10th or so
11.
one, whatever, it's, yeah, they start adding up, and it's and so the yoga though was able to sort of regulate, or was it, is it more just going into that mindset when things start getting going a little too fast?
I think it's both or a lot more than that. I think the big thing for me was the power of self-observation and knowing something was wrong and then becoming an advocate for myself in certain situations. And there was the neurologist, the local neurologist, had some pejorative issues, like
With,
women.
oh, okay,
I had
yeah.
one at the time. I just went in and finally got an appointment with a neurologist, which for some reason you can't just call up a neurologist and say, I need a neurologist. You have to have your doctor tell you you can go, and they make the appointment. I don't
Which
remember
is,
how I ended up in his office, but I do remember the 7 minutes that he spent with me. Okay, maybe 9 minutes. He asked me to count back by 7 from 100, which you can get to 93 pretty easy, but I could not get to the next number, and I still would be hard pressed to tell you what the next number is. However, being a carpenter, I could tell you that chances are you're going to end up with 3 down at the end. But I don't know how to tell you that. So anyway,
yeah.
and then he goes, let's do a range of motion test because of the whiplash. And I said, okay. And he goes, do this and do this. Well, by this time, I'm 5 or 6 months out, right?
Yeah.
And I've got some of my flexibility back. And he says, well, you have normal range of motion. I can hardly scratch my ears. Come on, I normally have my arms straight over my head, or I can lay some back behind me, or I can scratch my ear or the middle of my back from back here, And he says, you have normal range of motion. It's like, I can't even comb my hair or touch my ears. What are you talking about? And of course, he's talking fast and I'm not sassy like I am now. I've decided to become sassy, but so he's, and then he pokes me with a pin a few places, and then he kind of just rolls his head and says, I'll give you PTSD, but tell your husband to take you on a vacation to Florida. This is February in Iowa. Who doesn't want to go to Florida?
Right.
So it's like, what? And of course, he's looking at workers' comp issues, which I didn't think had anything to do with it because it was a car accident.
Right.
And it's like, was so flustered and I wasn't going to get anything from him. So I found out there's a specialized brain injury group of people down in Waterloo,
Okay.
which is about 90 miles southeast. And I call up and ask for an appointment. She said, well, you have to have a physician's referral. Well, I didn't have a physician. I had a chiropractor, but that doesn't count in Iowa. And so I'm like, what do I do? Well, way back when I was out of college, I had a job where I had to coordinate resources and I had to call people and convince them to do things. I called on that memory somehow And I picked up the phone and I called them and I said, well, you know, I pretended to be a nurse. And I said, I'm trying to set up an appointment for one of our patients. Can you tell me the direct number for the physician to make an appointment? And she goes, oh, okay. And she gives me the number. So I wait a day or two and I call up and pretend to be a nurse and made an appointment for myself. And so now I got to drive down there 90 minutes. It's like, oh, I got to drive 90 minutes, you know, but I did make it. And they gave me a neuropsych. That was my first neuropsych. So.
Yeah. No, good on you for being able to come up with that. That's some pretty impressive feats there.
The advantage to my situation, it was bad enough. I knew something was wrong, but it wasn't so bad that I didn't know something was wrong.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't have a clue that there's something wrong. They just change. And they say, well, she's changed. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, and it's hard, you know, I've seen it with people and just, it's, you can't, I don't know what you can do if, you know, they don't want to. And it's hard sometimes. It's a wild thing and it's so, I don't know, like even with like football, because I mean, football like is a huge thing. And I mean, telling people that were playing football, you know, back in, you know, when they were growing up playing football and like, you know, I never really, you know, sure, you know, I got hit a few times. But I mean, you also don't even need to get hit in the head for to have a head injury.
Right. Yeah.
Like, or, you know, like, or with, like you're saying, like with whiplash, like you're not getting hit in the head, but that's definitely gonna have an effect. Your brain's moving around, and
you see that 300-pound guy hit that other guy, and the body curves in a really distorted way, and the head's over here, and then when they land, you know,
right, yeah, yeah, and
hello,
yeah, like oh, okay, well, yeah, maybe that was. That was something. And it's hard to go back. And I don't know. Cause I mean, now I guess there's more information and it's, you know, and some, but still, I mean, it's still something where you're going to watch. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know. It gets hard to watch some of the things or, you know, do some of the things. And it's just like, I know what this is doing. And,
right. But you're doing it anyway. Well, you get lots
yeah.
of, okay. Take care of
maybe, you. maybe you do if you're smart. If you're not smart, like some people here, you do it, you know, for a lot less money than getting rich and or none or hot dogs and handshakes,
right.
You know, whatever it may be. And it's, I don't know, you know, what do you have to show for it? But it's, there's just, yeah, so much to.
The thing is that people don't realize the lack of productivity that comes from even mild brain injuries. All of a sudden, you're not able to make the deadlines. You know, you might be able to do your work. And most people go ahead and do their work, but they don't do as well. And they struggle with a lot more stress. They struggle with headaches, or they struggle with just not being able to manage their relationships. It's like, there's only there's a smaller pie, you know, and you can only portion out so much. And when you think you have the same size pie and you are convinced that life hasn't changed and you have the same size pie, all of a sudden the pieces are, it's all gone, you know, before you got 7 or 8 pieces out, you know. And I don't know if that's a very good analogy. I think the best thing that I've come up with is I have a smaller chalkboard than I used to. I used to be able to put lots of things on the big chalkboard, and now I have a smaller chalkboard. And it's like, I'm running out of space.
So what do you do when you run out of space? How's that work? Do you rearrange, or do you start grouping things in, or do you start writing little tiny things in there? And
you just have to let things fall off the edge And you have to make decisions about what's the big priorities. And it's a work in progress for me, but the awareness of, like last night, I wanted to go to the children's theater and watch a play. And I really was sort of planning on it. But then when last night rolled around, I was too tired. I was like, you can go, but then you're not going to get home till X amount of time and you get up early and blah, blah, blah. Is that a big priority for you? Nah, you got to let it go, So
Yeah.
you do have to make a little, you have to come up with your own little checklist based on your energy. I don't have the energy I used to have.
Right.
I can drink caffeine, but then I get AFib. So it's like, yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah. And like this show, I can't, like, I won't start it past 2 o'clock. Like, even 2 o'clock is like really hard. Like, normally I'll do it. The earlier in the day I can do it, I mean, the better. If I can do it at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, like, we're great. But then, sometimes I have to do shows that are like 5 o'clock, and it's not going to be good. Like, I don't like going to do wrestling shows or comedy shows really anymore. Because by that time in the day,
There's nothing
I'm not
left.
as quick. Yeah, I'm not as quick as I am. If I ever started a place that did comedy or something or wrestling, I'd do it first thing in the morning where I'd be good at it. But the world doesn't really work like that. People don't want to wake up in the morning and go, do something like that. That's not what people are into. But this podcast I can record in the morning and or early afternoon, and it's great. Like, I like that a lot, and that's something I just had to adjust to. I'm like, there's nothing left at the end of the day. There's I can watch, well, I don't know. Like, I'll watch Jeopardy, and then I'm out. But unless I record it, then I can watch a little bit earlier in the day. But
It's
Iowa
good that
had it
you
on
watch
early.
Jeopardy. That probably keeps you a little bit sharper.
A
I'm
little bit.
surprised. I'm surprised that when I watch Jeopardy, how much I know the answer to that, but it's not going to be quick.
It just takes, yeah, it takes a second, and then, like, oh yeah, well, that yep
Good
yep
thing I'm not pushing the buzzer. I'd get zero money.
yeah All right. Yeah, I just end up standing there for a minute, and
And
like,
smiling and looking like you really know what you're doing.
yeah,
I
like,
don't know this stuff on paper, but not when it becomes quick.
yeah, not
So.
right now. And see, that was another thing. So okay, so let's say, because, well, like this podcast, I don't do a lot of like speeches or things written out. Everything's kind of off the cuff. What would be advice that you would say, like, with the, like you were saying with the earlier on with the secretary going and going with the bad knees down the hall? So in a time when I need to be thinking quick on my feet, or someone else, whoever's out listening in listening land, what would you tell them to do to be able to be quick on your feet when it might not be there right away?
I think I can only tell you what kind of works for me. And that is to say, oh, wait a second. Just give me a second. I'm going to come up with it. And if I kind of have this little thing where my eyes are closed and I'm working real hard, they don't have any choice but to wait for me, And you're just going, and then if you can't get it, you say, I can't get it. And maybe somebody will come up with the word for you, but maybe they won't. And then, is it really important? Evidently not. So, we'll talk about it later, it'll come back to me. And I always have the faith that it's going to come back to me. Does it always? I don't know. But it always comes back to me. I remember when it does come back to me. I guess I don't remember when it doesn't.
Oh, that's so good.
You have to take yourself lightly. You can't, well, you can be. It's best if you're not attached to the way you used to be, and that you explore the way you are now and go with an element of curiosity, because it makes it so much lighter, so much less heavy, so much less, oh, poor me kind of thing, you know. And I struggled with that. My rear end car accident was in 1997, and I was probably 2002 before I felt like I was going to function again, you know, as good, not as good, but in the same league as I used to be, you know. Completely different though, completely different.
And yeah, I mean, that's a hard thing to do to get to that part. I mean,
Keep
where
in
yeah, fit.
mind that the brain, the nerves and the brain, neural pathways take 3 to 5 years to form, reform, or adjust. So that's why 5-year-olds are weird.
Still adjusting, still for me.
Right.
And yeah, it's yeah, it's hard to just like let it go, but like what you said just makes it easier. I mean, and it's been that way. There's a lot of things eventually you just kind of need to let go, and you know, might not be the same. And it's okay. And like you said, going into it with that lighter mentality, with being able to just be like, okay, well, this is it. Like, I don't need to feel bad about it. It's what, like, go out and make the best of it. Like, why not? What's been the matter with that? And yeah, why not? Why not just go out and make the best of it? There's nothing that's going to change. Nothing's going to, it's, that what's been done is done,
Right.
and
Yeah. And I, you know, I was determined to go back to my complete normal self. Once I let that go, life was much easier. You know, I was like, I got to do this. I got to do. And I still find myself doing that. I still find myself saying things like, well, you got to get this done. You got to do this. You got to be this type A personality. I was talking to someone about this similar thing about finding your passion. And if you find your passion, then you'll be on the path and you'll find fulfillment and all this stuff. And she said somebody was responding to that, and they said they never found their passion, and they never felt fulfillment, and they never felt so bad about it, because now they don't know what their passion is, and now they feel guilty. And I probably have always had a version of attention deficit. I definitely have a version of it now. And I'm interested in everything. I have to really focus to get back to, you know, what I see as my mission, to get the brain injury information out there. And I mean, I like this and I like that, and I'm learning more about yoga, and it's like, oh wow, that's cool. Oh, there's a shiny object, you know. It's all kinds of stuff out there. And every once in a while I just go, okay, well, what's really important right now? And oh, and she was talking about being a butterfly or a hummingbird. And she always felt like she was a hummingbird. And she would go from this flower to this flower to this, and that's a pretty flower over there. And she felt like her life was okay as a hummingbird, you know. And she said, when I heard this other lady feeling guilty about her passion, and that maybe there are a bunch of hummingbirds out there, she said, I just felt so relieved, because I like being a hummingbird, you know. And so you don't have to. We've got to, you know, we go through these phases, these social phases, and say, you got to be this way, you got to be this way, you got to do this, you got to be here. And all of a sudden it's like, I don't want to do that, you know. And you feel guilty, you know. And
Right.
so
Until you don't one
right,
day,
then you
and
say, Nah, it's not who I am.
Yeah, and I'm never going to be that person. So I don't know. I'm having a good time. Like, if you're not, maybe I'm doing something right. I don't know.
You
Who
know, if
knows?
you
Whatever
find
it
your
is, it's
passion and
great
you
for.
focus in on it and that's what you want to do and you are good at it, God bless you. You
Yeah.
know?
Yeah, it's great for me. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and yeah, like getting to the point. Like, it took me forever to realize that, like, my knee was destroyed and I can't wrestle anymore. Like, that one was a lot, but like eventually now it's like now I can be here and I can do this, and like you were saying earlier too, like, I don't have to go out at night. I can do stuff when it's gonna work for me, and like realizing that, and yeah, just being able to have a different way of looking at things, different way of doing things, getting everything done. And so yoga is another thing that I've been always looking into, and always say I'm going to try it, and I've tried it a couple times, but and then I stop, and but then I know how well it's worked for, I see all the people who were doing what I was doing for years, and they're all doing it and they're all flourishing. And
What do you think yoga is?
well, I assume it has to do with a lot of what's going on in your head. I mean, there's the stretching part of it too, but I mean, like, even just I was talking to people the other day, like, what's the difference between hypnosis and what, a guided meditation,
Right, like
or
mindset.
yoga? Like, what's the difference between the, there's nothing. It's just different words. And
Right.
that's something, because then he goes, yeah, well, because trying to advertise hypnosis to somebody is like, everyone's thinking, oh, okay, here's this. Here's the well, here's the watch. I'm gonna get you to cluck like a chicken. But then he said, can I, advertise what we're doing as guided meditation instead of hypnosis? And I said, yes, absolutely. Or, like you're saying, for yoga, like, whatever it is, something like, the more open you make all this to people, like, the better. And it doesn't have to be such a scary thing, because the your brain, you got one brain. You got one brain. That's all you have. It's, we haven't got that far in life, and you can do a lot with it. You can change every day. You can change and better yourself every day, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it costs $0
Right.
to better yourself.
Right.
Why not?
Yeah. So when I talk to people about yoga is it depends on I suppose my mood, but sometimes I say things like I could put help I can teach you right now how to put your foot behind your head. And they look at me like, what? I'm not gonna be able to put my foot behind my head. And I said, oh, I can guarantee you I can get you to do that. And they said, well, what? So I have them stand up. Basically, stand up, and I'm not going to stand up because I'll be out of the camera. But you stand up and just get real tall like that, and then I say, "Now take one big giant step forward with your right foot," and they say, "Okay," and they're still looking at me like, "Okay, I took a step. Now why is my foot not behind my head?" I said, "Your foot is behind your head. Your left foot is behind your head," and they just look at me like, "Wah," you know. It's like, no, but. You had to think about how you were standing. You had to think about taking that step forward. And it's really, yoga is about connecting the mind and the body and the spirit, if you want to go that way, and making them all work together. And yoga is Sanskrit for the word yoke, which is what, it's a yoke. You put that on your shoulders and you balance your water buckets when you're going to the well and coming back. Or you put the yoke on the two horses, so they work together. And that's what it's about. It's about learning to make your body and your mind work together. And I would say, except for car accidents, I've done really well at making my body pay attention to what's going on. The other time was when I missed a step and fell down pretty hard. But and that was because I wasn't paying attention. I was tired. I was hungry. I had to pee. I was trying to get somewhere and I fell down and broke things.
When you got hit.
No, that was a different story. That's a
Okay.
that's
So,
a, if it weren't for my physical yoga, I'd
yep.
probably be walking and talking very well. There's been a number of situations where I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So,
So, well, okay, well, side note real quick. So when you got hit, what kind of position were you in, and were you tense when you got hit? Or do you remember?
I was probably a little tense, because I was trying to, convince my son it wasn't the end of the world. It turned out it kind of was. Yeah, that's a long story, but anyway, that's a whole story in and of itself, that conversation. But I had leaned on the steering wheel, was holding on the steering wheel, and had turned my body forward and sideways to get to look him in the face, because he was like, and we were
Gotcha.
stopped at a stoplight, and the car behind us hit us, and I hit the car in front.
Okay. Yeah, probably a little more tense than
I
you
was
would be,
in
and then
totally in the wrong
turned.
place. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you gotta go. So I remember hearing my hypnosis teacher. He told me he got hit, and he said he just grabbed onto the wheel and just let me go, and just said he just got as loose as could be. And that's kind of what they taught me in, like, for skiing and stuff, if you fall, or in wrestling too, just like
Yeah, everything.
feel
My
if,
situations have always happened so fast. I,
yeah,
you know,
and
one of them I can replay in my mind slow motion, but the other one's like, I don't know what happened,
yeah. Well, so if people want to work with you, want to find you, want to check out other things of you, they can go where and do that now.
You can contact me through social media, Nora Neff Hardy. Or Yoga Central Studio. So,
Excellent. That's easy. Easy to find you. So yeah, thanks for being on, and yeah, happy we got to talk about this,
yeah.
and
And what I
have
do
a
is, what I will do when my program's on its way. It's actually on its way. I have a program, a little mini program right now called Stop the Startle, and Keeping Calm in the Chaos is a secondary one, but they're kind of the same. And Stop the Startle is because people with PTSD or nervous system issues, when there's loud noise, it's like, they're frantic, they
Right.
get panicky, and it takes a long time to calm down. So what I do is help people at least start right there, so that you don't end up. It's the same reason that when we talked about not being able to find the right words and getting all frustrated, it's the same principle. You got to just learn to
And
relax. You're safe. It's not a big deal. There's no tiger,
right. That's yeah. And when you get into that, because like I didn't put that together until just right now, until you just said that. That, I mean, because you can't take in new information when you're in fight or flight mode. You do all kinds of impulsive shit, and sorry, and like
It's okay.
it's what it is, and like that's something that. So that's something I need to get out of fight or flight mode. I need to work through that. PTSD of me not being able to formulate words fast enough and thoughts fast enough, and that's where I'm going to do that now. So thank you very much for that, Nora, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. And if you want, shout out to Euro Hut there. If you ever. There was a place there. I went there one time, and
Oh,
I remember that for
in
some
Mason
reason.
City?
Yep.
Okay.
There was a little kid who was working there. He was probably like, I think he was like 11 or 12 years old, and You know, maybe he was part of, I don't think he was the main worker, but really nice people there. And yeah, Mason
I
City.
don't
So.
recall that now, but we do have a lot of, we have some mom and pop lunch places, you know.
Yeah.
It's, yeah,
Yeah.
I like them all.
That's the best kind. Well, hey, thank you so much, Nora. And yeah, we'll stay in touch, and yeah, hopefully we can talk again sometime. All right.
Thank you. Thank you for the honor.
You
Okay.
very well, thank you. All right.
Okay.
Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks
All
again.
right. Yep. All right. That's Nora and F. Hardy. Yeah. Give her a look over. Check her out. That's crazy. My mind is blown right now, you guys. So that's good. You guys blow your mind sometimes. It's okay. It's okay to blow your mind sometimes. It's okay to get better. It's okay to feel better. It's okay that shit's not going to be the same sometime. So thank you everyone for being here and listening. Check me out, rustydiamond.net or hypnosisisgreat.com. So thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. Have a great day. And that is the show. Man, boom.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.